Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. Let's get straight to the docket. First, a Letitia Stauch update. The sheriff has questions and only the judge can answer it. Second, Breonna Taylor, a $12 million update. Suzanne Morphew, a new search begins. What happens when an attorney general kills someone while driving? And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. First, if you haven't done so already, we'd ask that you hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And while I'm on that subject, tonight, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, we will be going live on YouTube and Facebook. Please join us. We'll be talking about all kinds of true crime cases, specifically the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell, Letitia Stauch, any other case that interests you. We'll be taking your questions. And as always, we'll be doing our live Patreon right after we're done going live. First on the docket, a Letitia Stauch case update. As you may recall, Letitia Stauch is accused of allegedly killing her stepson, Gannon Stauch. Well, she's gone down to Pueblo for a competency evaluation. She came back competent. The defense requested a second hearing, and she is back being evaluated. If you'd like to see those discussions, we can put a link below so that you can take a look at those videos if you haven't done so already. Well, there's an interesting issue that has arisen, and the El Paso County Sheriff has questions. As you may recall, on March 5th of 2020, when this case was really getting going, the court issued an order limiting pretrial publicity. Well, it's unclear as to who that necessarily relates to. The El Paso County Sheriff's Office has received from the Gazette, which is a newspaper down in Colorado Springs, as well as the radio station and television stations, open records requests under the Colorado Criminal Justice Records Acts, and they're requesting possible records relating to Defendant Stauch's recent complaints that she has written to the court about, which are now public records. Now, obviously, the El Paso County Sheriffs, when they receive a records request like this, they have to go to the statute that governs that particular request, and the sheriff has to do a balancing test evaluating the release of such records. Basically, is it protected? Is it privileged? And balancing the privacy interests of the person subject to the request as well as the public's right to know. And the sheriff says, hey, judge, we don't want to get in any trouble here. So we're asking for you to clarify the scope of your order limiting pretrial publicity. Specifically, the El Paso County Sheriff wants to know, does that order prohibit the El Paso County Sheriff's Office from releasing Defendant Stauch's in-custody complaints? Now, these complaints are what is often referred to as kites. It's a little piece of paper. The inmate will write a complaint or a request. It goes through the chain of command, and the inmate will, in fact, receive a response back. They're held usually while the individual is in custody, you know, kind of their little inmate file. So I think the request should be granted. The records should be released, but the sheriff is playing it safe. They don't want to do anything that's going to get them in trouble and possibly affect the outcome of the case. So the sheriff did the right thing. What do you do when you have a legal question? You call an attorney. And that's what the sheriff did, and the county attorney filed this request on behalf of the sheriff. We'll keep an eye on that and see what the judge rules. It's somewhat always interesting when gag orders go into effect. How far does it cover? Yes, the judge can limit it to the participants in the case, but to law enforcement that isn't directly involved, i.e. not the police, the sheriff that are just holding her in the detention facility, it's going to be a good issue that the judge may have to do a little research on to see the scope and breadth of his orders. So we'll keep you posted. Next on the docket, a Breonna Taylor update. For those of you who are not familiar with the Breonna Taylor case, she was killed in her Louisville, Kentucky home when police officers were executing a no-knock search warrant at her residence. This was based upon some stale information about an ex-boyfriend who may have been receiving some drugs at the house. Needless to say, the police went in. They say they announced their presence. The boyfriend of Breonna Taylor also has a right to defend himself in that home, not knowing necessarily if it was police, particularly if the police didn't announce themselves, even though they said they did. It's kind of a question of fact. But ultimately, the boyfriend fires back. At that point, the police officers open fire, sending off many, many rounds, ultimately killing Breonna Taylor. No charges have been filed against the police. The matter will be going before the grand jury. But in lots of cases like this, there is stall and delay and delay, and they hope it goes away. Well, now the city, and according to press releases, at about 2 p.m. this afternoon, the city is expected to announce that they have come to a settlement, and it is estimated to be about $12 million to the Breonna Taylor family to resolve their legal claims against the city. Certainly, that will not bring Ms. Taylor back, but hopefully it helps the family in some way. Certainly, they would rather have Ms. Taylor there than the money, but that's the reality of the civil process. It is to try to make people whole again. Sometimes you can't, so the only way to do that is writing big checks. And if you may recall, I said early on, not sure if the police are going to be charged in this particular case because once the boyfriend opened fire, they thought their lives were in danger, so they opened fire. And based upon their training, they keep firing until basically somebody else stops shooting at them or all their bullets are gone. So I did say the city better get their checkbook ready, and guess what? They're getting out the checkbook. One of these days, you think citizens around the country would get tired of paying these kinds of settlements to families that could have been avoided if there was just a little better police work going on. Here, there's evidence that the information was stale as it related to the search warrant, as the boyfriend wasn't there, and obviously they found no drugs. Unfortunate situation for sure. Next on the docket, Suzanne Morphew. That's right, a lot of information going on lately regarding Suzanne Morphew. For those not familiar, she's the mother who disappeared from her bike ride in Chaffee County on Mother's Day of this year. She has not been seen since. The police have been unable to locate her, any type of remains, and there are no real suspects. Suzanne Morphew's husband, Barry Morphew, according to the sheriff as well as the family of Suzanne Morphew, has said that he has not been extremely cooperative with the police at all. He apparently has not cooperated when it comes to taking polygraph examinations, and he's been somewhat hesitant in being forthright with them, according to the police. However, they're not saying he's a person of interest, and obviously neither are we. We're just simply reporting the facts. Obviously, anyone accused of a crime has a presumption of innocence, and that presumption would remain with them until and if they are either found guilty by a jury or plead guilty in a court of law. Since no one with the Chaffee County Sheriff's Department, along with the Colorado Bureau of Investigation or the Federal Bureau of Investigation, have been able to develop any leads, the family of Suzanne Morphew is taking the matter into their own hands. Andrew Mormon, the brother, is organizing an independent search in the area of Suzanne Morphew's disappearance, and this will begin on September 24th and continue for the next several days. Andrew Mormon will be leading several hundred volunteer searchers from various towns and states in his effort to find his sister. The Chaffee County Sheriff's Office and the Colorado Bureau of Investigation both indicate that they support this independent effort, although their team is unable to coordinate and lead this effort due to liability issues. They, in fact, are very supportive of this and they will have officers in a command post as a liaison in case something is discovered. Let's hope that something positive comes from this search, and it'll be very interesting if Barry Morphew participates in this search. Let me know what you think. Do you think Barry Morphew is going to participate? Or is it one of those type of situations that he's not getting along with his family, so it's completely explainable? Or is it kind of like, well, he knows they're not going to find her, so what is he going to waste his time out there looking for? We just simply don't know. If I was Mr. Morphew's attorney, which I'm not, I would tell him to get out there and start looking. Quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com. It is a dangerous world out there, and you do not know with whom you are dealing with in most circumstances. It's one thing if you are a victim of crime by completely randomness, but when you know the person, it is absolutely devastating, particularly if you find out that you have been lied to, and maybe through a little due diligence, you could have discovered that information. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you can anonymously search as many people as you want. And when you do that, you're going to get information about their phone numbers associated with them, emails, and social media also associated with them. This is important stuff, ladies and gentlemen. There are so many people out there that live double lives. In that report, you're also going to get information regarding property records, criminal history records, as well as information regarding marital records. You ever thought maybe someone's not telling you the truth? Maybe they're in fact still married when they want to start a relationship? Go to crimetalksearch.com, find out. You'll be glad you did. Next on the docket, what happens when the attorney general kills someone driving? Well, apparently not much so far, but there's a lot of information that we need to find out. The South Dakota Attorney General, Jason Rasborg, told authorities he thought that he hit a deer Saturday night. He killed a pedestrian with his vehicle. That pedestrian turned out to be a gentleman by the name of Joseph Boever, who was 55, and he was apparently killed and struck by Rasborg Ford Taurus Saturday night. According to the police, the state attorney general called authorities after the crash, which is a little weird, saying that he had in fact hit a deer. Now, I guess maybe for insurance purposes, you want to document that. And if anyone's ever hit a deer, they can do pretty significant damage. And sometimes they can even run off, but you usually know if you hit a deer. However, if you've ever driven in South Dakota and you're out on a road, there's not lights on all those roads. It can be very, very dark indeed. This particular incident took place about 10:30 p.m., and Boever's body was discovered Sunday morning. It's not exactly clear, and some information will have to come out, was to how long did it take for Ravensborg to actually call the police? Did he wait till he got home? Was it the following morning? Interesting for sure. Now, obviously, the other issue that becomes involved, was there some sort of perhaps reckless driving, or was alcohol involved? Now, certainly an attorney, the attorney general, responsible for criminal matters in the state of South Dakota, may know that if he had even had even just one drink, that could be a big problem. So a lot of information needs to come out about this. Now, he said he placed the call right after the accident occurred, but that he called from the location of his vehicle. There is one report that said that Ravensborg placed the call to 911 right after the accident, and it's also believed that he maybe called from the location of the accident in his vehicle. Now, once that 911 call is released and the timing is completed, it may provide more information about it. This could just be an absolutely horrible situation, or it could be a big trouble for the attorney general. Now, no one likes for other people to kill anyone, particularly somebody walking on the side of the road. It appears as though Mr. Boever's vehicle was found in a ditch about a half mile up the road. If there's no alcohol involved, probably just a horrible accident and no harm, no foul. If alcohol's involved, big, big trouble. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And guess what? Controlled substances were involved. Have you ever noticed that with the dumb criminal contestants of the week? That's right. Drugs and alcohol seem to create these situations. Well, meet Cynthia Teeple. Well, she was at her home in Tennessee last month, and Miss Teeple was seen shirtless eating grass and dirt from a horse enclosure, as well as chewing on the horse's mane near its head. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you can't make this stuff up. When the police arrived, of course, they wanted to know exactly what was going on with Miss Teeple and asked her where her shirt was. She apparently had no idea, but the police found it about some 30 feet away. When asked why she was chewing on the horse's mane, the horse's hair on the back of the neck, right? She stated, quote, "It's made of Laffy Taffy and Airhead candy," end quote. Miss Teeple was allegedly unsteady on her feet and having involuntary muscle movements that caused her to stumble several times and also fall, according to police reports. She did admit to taking meth the day before, and I'm gonna take a wild guess here that she may have taken a few other controlled substances prior to the police arrival. Ladies and gentlemen, you simply can't make this stuff up. We want to thank you for watching today. Please join us this evening, 6 p.m. Mountain Time on both YouTube and Facebook. We will be doing that simultaneously, and we'll be talking about the cases that you want to discuss. So please join us. Thanks for watching. We'll see you tonight on Crime Talk.